Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna, and welcome to an hour of mind power. My guest today, Leanne Ryan, we are trying to reach her right now. We're going to be talking about bankruptcy, how to survive and prosper. So I'm looking forward to sharing that topic because in today's world, there's a lot of people that are coping with that issue, and it is a very stressful thing to cope with. So as soon as we've got Leanne on the line, we will be bringing her on. I wanted to share a story with you, though, before we get Leanne, while we're waiting for that phone call to be completed. It's about former President Ronald Reagan. Apparently, he always had a real good sense of humor, and being the professional actor that he was, he really enjoyed playing and portraying stories of various types, and one was about himself. He claimed that this is a personal experience that caused him to learn early in life to make firm and resolute decisions. Now, he had an aunt. This lady just loved him dearly and decided she was going to take him to a local cobbler. Now, you may or may not think of a shoemaker as a cobbler. That's not a term we hear very often anymore. But when Ronald Reagan was a kid, cobblers, shoemakers were quite common. People had their shoes repaired. They just didn't wear them and dump them like we consider doing today. They didn't do that. You had to make them go a long way. So having a pair of custom-made shoes was really something very, very special. And the shoemaker asked Ronald, as the young man he was, do you want a square toe or a round one? Well, Ronald Reagan said that he just couldn't figure that one out. He hem and hawed about it, so the cobbler said, come back in a day or two and tell me what you want. Well, a few days went by. Ronald didn't go in to tell the cobbler what he wanted. However, their paths did cross one afternoon. And he asked Ronald, the cobbler did, what do you want? And Ronald said, I haven't made up my mind. Very well, the cobbler said. And he said to Ronald, your shoes will be ready tomorrow. Now, when Ronald Reagan picked up his brand new shoes, one shoe had a round toe and the other one had a square toe. Ronald Reagan said every time he looked at those shoes, he was taught a lesson. What was that lesson? If you don't make your own decisions, someone else will make them for you. Remember, a decision, well, that's important. When you make no decision, that's also a decision. And you don't want to end up with a round toe and a square toe. Anyway, that was the information that Ronald Reagan gave. And I thought, that's so significant. All of us, at one time or another, are going to pretty much follow some kind of an example like that. We have a hard time making decisions. Are we going to go forward? Are we going to make a career change? Are we going to lose weight? What do we want to do? And the reality is that if we don't make our choices, frequently someone else will, and often the choices that are made we're not going to like because they're not really what we want. So when we're going about our daily activities...
Leanne is with us.
Thank you. Leanne is with us, but just in closing, when you go around your daily activities, and if you feel like hemming and hawing, think of Ronald Reagan's story, the round toe and the square toe. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm delighted to say we have Leanne Ryan on the air with us. Leanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna. It's good to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you as a guest because, as I announced at the beginning of my show, dealing with bankruptcy is one of the most uncomfortable experiences that anyone could really have. And you've gone through certain things, but I really would like my audience to know a little bit about you because you're a woman that has walked the walk. you didn't write this book just because you intellectualized about it. You have gone through a particular experience yourself. Tell us a little bit about your story and why you felt compelled to write this book.
Okay, I'll be more than happy to. Well, like millions of other people today, I got into a very serious financial situation, and I do have to be honest and say a lot of it was done, how it snowballed, so to speak, is because apparently the credit card companies can arbitrarily raise your interest rate just because they can. Mm-hmm. And I had been floating a construction project, and I had used credit cards to do it. And I found my rate going from, like, a nice 9% rate to 30%, which I thought was against the law. Yes, apparently I was wrong. And when I called and inquired, well, why did you do that? And their reply was, I called the credit card companies, was that when they see their customers getting close to their credit limit or carrying a lot of debt, they raise the rate. And I said, well, that's supposed to help me. How? You've just increased the chance that I'm going to have difficulty paying you back. I said, did you know loan sharking was against the law? They didn't like that remark too much. Of course, they were just, you know, customer service representatives. They don't make the rules. Mm-hmm. So anyway, long story short, we ended up in a situation where we had lawsuits coming at us and liens, this, that, and the other, in danger of losing everything we worked and slaved so hard for, and no way out, no way out. I did think about suicide, though, and that's a terrible thing to admit to. But in my research for this book, I found that that was a common thread. Many people who are beat under the weight of unmanageable debt kind of think the only way out is their demise, which is no way out, obviously. And in the depths of my pain, I searched for some answers, how to deal with the emotional impact of bankruptcy, the pain and this worry. And I would go to the library and to the bookstore, and I would scan the shelves looking for books on bankruptcy, and I found plenty of books on bankruptcy, but they all talked about the legalities, the nuts and bolts, you know, just dry stuff. I said, well, wait a minute, what about the pain? How do I deal with that? Couldn't find it, so I decided to write one myself to chronicle my journey, to share with others walking in my shoes, and maybe give them some hope that I was looking for at that time, that they can survive a bankruptcy, that it's not the end of the world, that it's not this bad, terrible thing that people think that it is. And in fact, it's a lifeline. It's a second chance. That's why I wrote the book, to share that with everybody else that's going through this.
Well, I think that is important because, like you, you've made a very significant comment about, you know, thinking of suicide. Of course, that wasn't an option, but the thought was there, is, my God, is it worth living? And you think of the depression when the stock market crashed and how so many people were jumping out of windows. And these are people that had buku dollars, and all of a sudden they were down to Zippo.
Yes.
Oh, just a minute. Sorry, something went down the wrong pipe. Woo. Anyway, what I was going to say is, oh, give me just a minute. I hate it when I do that. My goodness. Oh, I don't usually croak like that on the air. Anyway, something just went down the wrong pipe. You bring out some very important information here. Every 30 seconds in the United States, someone files for bankruptcy. The United Kingdom sees 430 Great Britain a day go bankrupt. Now, that is an incredible number. In Canada, 100,000 people a year seek bankruptcy protection. So when you wrote that paragraph, you said at the end, you're not alone. Now, there are a lot of people through the years that use bankruptcy as an escape. They used it as a route to be irresponsible. But the majority of those people that declare bankruptcy do so, not unlike you, against their will, really. It's I've got to do something. Otherwise, yeah, I'm just going to absolutely drown. And so many times there are extenuating circumstances. I know individuals right now that have had to declare bankruptcy because of medical bills. They have had critical situations in the family. The medical bills ended up being $400,000. And, you know, you just shake your head. It's incomprehensible. And, of course, they have used credit cards. So the compound interest on that amount of money alone just would break you. There's just no way that the average individual would be able to survive that. So let's talk about your journey.
Okay.
And one of the things I want people to know about in your book is that you have a number of businesses listed that are still in business, but many of them had to declare bankruptcy to be able to work through the challenges they went through. You have the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Portland, Oregon. You've got Zenith Electronics Corporation. You've got Texaco. You have, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. There's just so many businesses that have had to do this. I think of Walt Disney. He went bankrupt 7 times, if I remember correctly. You have people that go through these things, and they come out. They come out okay. Now, you do say in your book that you need to pay attention, and because credit cards can literally wipe you out if you're not careful. And that's something that was a big lesson that you learned. So you and your husband at this time rarely, if ever, use a credit card. But you really go into a great deal of information here. Let's start off with the big DC, debt collectors. They are the nightmares from hell for people that are going through a challenge with collection agencies. Educate us on this.
Well, you know, their job is to get the money out of the debtor one way or the other, any way they can. They pull some really awful tricks, other than calling you every 5 minutes. I know of one debt collector who called someone owing a debt, and a child answered the phone, a little girl, and a debt collector told the little girl that they were coming to her house to take away all her toys because mommy didn't pay her bills. I mean, I can't even imagine something like that. But they're pretty snarky, actually, but they're very good. They're very good at their job. They will have waiting your kid's piggy bank before you know what hits you, and they will try to shame you into, you know, dipping into the mortgage money or the grocery money to get a check to them immediately or else. And the sad part about it is, and I think I kind of put this two and two together, is a lot of the people who have gone through a foreclosure, lost their family home, actually were taking their mortgage money and sending it to the collectors because they had such a hypnotic effect on these people that then they lost their home. Mm-hmm. And when they could have just filed bankruptcy and kept their home. But they're very persuasive. They're very good at their job, and they make a lot of money when they collect. And they're ruthless, and they're pretty relentless.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of bankruptcy. I found it amazing that modern bankruptcy was established. The Bankruptcy Reform Act of 1978 is what's behind what we know as modern bankruptcy today. But you trace bankruptcy all the way back to the Romans.
Well, actually, a little bit before that. It actually is mentioned in the Bible, although it doesn't go by the name bankruptcy, but when Moses went up to the mount to bring down the word of God, one of the things he said was that we are to forgive debts every 7 years, and that's called the Jubilee. And then, yes, it was prevalent in Roman times, and actually the word bankruptcy is a Roman word. And bancus is the tradesman counter that they would have in their market square, and ruptus is the them breaking his bench because he didn't pay his bills. Mm-hmm. So that's where the word bankruptcy came from. And through the years, bankruptcy has existed, but it was always meant to be punitive, to punish the debtor. No consideration for their circumstances was given to them. it was no humanitarianism at all was given to the debtor. And actually, a debtor could actually be put to death. There was a time that death was on the books for the debtor, and it was considered a heinous enough crime that you could be put to death for it, and not only put to death, but put to death without the benefit of clergy, because you were considered to be a felon, you see. And actually, there were only five people actually put to death, but if you were one of the five, that's a big number. So, fortunately, that was only on the books for, I believe it was 115 years.
That was 115 years too long.
Yes, 115 years too long, exactly. You could lose your consortium of a spouse. You could lose your property. You could be in prison. And actually, imprisonment was a very real threat right up into the mid-19th century for debtors. So it wasn't until, you're right, not 1898 that the first, I guess, modern bankruptcy came into effect, showing some compassion, I guess is the word, to the debtor. The bankruptcy laws have been amended through the years, with the last one being in 2005.
Now, there are three levels of bankruptcy. You have Chapter 7, which deals with unsecured debts, credit cards, medical bills, unsecured loans. This is called a liquidation bankruptcy. Chapter 11 is for business seeking bankruptcy protection. Chapter 13 is a plan to restructure a debt, an individual's debt, or maybe even a corporate debt. So let's go into detail about that, because there are those three forms.
Yes. Okay. Well, Chapter 7, yes, you're right. It is usually referred to as a liquidation bankruptcy, and that's very unfortunate. It just feeds into the misinformation out there about bankruptcy. Who wants to liquidate everything? In actuality, you can file a Chapter 7 bankruptcy and keep everything and not lose anything, dependent upon what it is you owe. If you own a home, a great deal of your equity is sheltered in a Chapter 7, and you could very well keep your home. You could very well keep everything. And it's relatively short. It takes about 4 to 6 months to wind its way through the court, and then it is discharged. And actually, you could buy a house 2 years later. People think, oh, I'll never buy a house with bankruptcy. Wrong. You could get an FHA loan in as little as 2 years. Then the Chapter 11, you're right, like Chrysler. That's a perfect example of a Chapter 11. They declare Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They reorganize. They restructure the debt and carry on business as usual. And the Chapter 13 is meant for the individual to do for the individual what 11 does for a corporation. Your debt is restructured, and you pay it back in 3 to 5 years. But here's the thing that people don't understand. You do not pay back what you owe. You pay back what you can legitimately afford to pay back after your living expenses are paid. And that's the amount you pay. It could be $100. I think $100 is the minimum. You could owe $200,000, and if your disposable income after your monthly expenses or $100, that's what you pay back for a period of 3 to 5 years, and then it is discharged.
So you have that information. Now, you bring out how, you know, you can keep IRAs, pension accounts, employee annuities, stock bonus plans. There's just so many things in your book that you cover that give some very good information. And one of the points, and of course I'm sort of bouncing around in the book here, you had made a big mistake regarding setting up repayment accounts, and your creditors insisted they had to do it electronically, and you gave them your checking and savings account number. What happened?
Okay. Well, I was pretty fortunate. I was planning, really. I was trying to think one step ahead of the credit card companies. I had several repayment accounts set up, and what I would do is, I think I had six or seven set up. I would go to six or seven banks and set up an account and just put every month in what the agreed upon amount was to be paid back, because once they have your information, they can go in there and take the money in your account. You think they can't possibly do that, but they can do that. Luckily, they didn't do that to me, because I thought to, you know, hedge my bets and only put enough in each account to cover what my monthly payment was. And I do want to say kind of in my defense, too, because I don't want people to think I'm advocating, oh, you got some debt, run out and, you know, file bankruptcy. That's not what I'm advocating. If one could pay off their debt without great sacrifice to themselves and their family, that's what they should do. But, you know, myself and the majority of people who eventually do file for bankruptcy are people who tried for years to pay it off, only to find their debt grow instead of shrink. So that was like the last resort. It's not they didn't, you know, take it real cavalierly, like, oh, just go on, you know, have a bankruptcy. I tried desperately for years. But after years of throwing money at a plan that was never shrinking, I knew I had to do something else, because if I paid on this till I died, I wouldn't have paid it off, and I'd probably be living in my car or in my son's basement, which was not a very pretty option.
Now, let me ask you a question about the credit card companies. When you told the credit card companies that you were in a situation would they negotiate for a lower interest rate, why is it you had so much opposition to that? Why is it they wouldn't work with you?
They want all of their money. They want their money. And let me give an example. I did try to negotiate with one credit card company. I said, look, this is what I can do for you. This is what I can do. You know, this is all I can do. It's like a take it or leave it proposition. And what they said to me was, you are in no position to be calling the shots. We call the shots. That was their answer. I said, well, okay. Now you get nothing. They're not that, you know, they want what you owe them. And they know they can go to court and sue you and garnish your wages, put a lien against your property, file a collection against you, and there will sit on your credit card, a credit report until you die or until you pay it off. They do have the power.
Yes, they do. And you felt like it was tremendous greed on their part when they upped, which I'm inclined to agree with you on that. Anytime you take a percentage rate and you're going to double it, triple it, whatever you're going to do, in fact, that's something that is coming out now because of a new bill that's been signed that your late payments aren't going to be $39, they're going to be $25, and there's this, that, or the other. But one of the things that I have found, and I know I've talked with other people that have had this experience, that there are all kinds of hidden charges. And if you can't pay off your credit card on a monthly basis, then don't do what you don't need to do. Don't use a credit card. Go without. Wait until you have the cash, which is really important. And in your research, you find that for all of the millions or billions they think that they're losing, they're making billions of dollars off of people that are paying their bills.
Yes.
And so it's going to take the American consumer, it's going to take the consumer waking up to what's happening and understanding what's going on.
Yes.
And I think then that can implement the change. Now, one of the things that you said by declaring bankruptcy, what the benefit was is that you weren't terrified of opening your door or answering your phone, and you found that you could keep things, contrary to the myth of losing everything.
Yes.
Where do you think that myth came from, and why do you think, because it has been told for as far back as I can remember, if you have a bankruptcy, it's on your credit report for 14 years. It will be there. It's a negative. It works against you. Yet I hear of, just like with you, people that have had bankruptcy, yet they're able to, they are sent credit card forms, amazingly, by the bucket load. And also that people will extend credit again to you. And your credit, actually, you can start all over again. Tell us how that happened.
I wish I knew. That is one of the great mysteries, how such a myth can be perpetrated so, you know, so long and so extensively. It boggles the imagination. I'm not sure. A lot of it, I believe, is ignorance. I mean, I have to be honest, before I got in this situation, I really didn't know what bankruptcy was. Oh, I just knew it was bad. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, bad, terrible, and it stops there. The myth is just so prevalent, and I just don't understand why it's been perpetrated on and on and on. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do with the book, is to educate the public that this is not the boogeyman that they want you to think it is. You know, it is not the end of the world. I lost nothing. We have investment properties. We have a beautiful home. I'm in a repayment plan, yes, but I just figured it out. I'm paying back 15 cents on the dollar of what I did owe. people are just brainwashed, I believe. And another thing, I do have to say, the banking industry is so powerful, that their lobbyists spend $83 million was spent in the past year alone, I believe it was 2009, on lobbying. And what does that tell you? I mean, the banking industry is just so powerful. I don't know. It seems almost like a conspiracy. You keep the consumer ignorant. Keep them, you know, don't tell them about bankruptcy. And here's something I figured out about bankruptcy. It's a dirty word. It's a dirty little word. That's what people think. But you know what the truth of the matter is? It's the world's best kept secret. It is a best kept secret. And I'm trying to, you know, get that word out in my book.
Now, you bring out the point that there are those people that are irresponsible when it comes to money. They will abuse credit cards. They will abuse whatever bankruptcy proceedings there are. But most people are not of that demeanor. They really want to pay their bills, and they really want to get them behind them as quickly as they can. And in today's world, we're dealing with an economic downturn that is going to be very, very slow in recovery because there are not the jobs available. Industries have shifted and changed. So for those that are looking for work, they either have to go back to school to get retrained or they have to look at what venues are going to be theirs. And many of these people are supporting families, and they are just in agony over this. So there is a lot of good information in your book. Now, one of the things you say is never trade your non-secured debt, credit card debt, personal loans, medical bills, for secured debt, mortgage debt.
Yes.
Why do you take that positioning?
Well, because that debt is dischargeable in a bankruptcy. Okay, this is what many people do. They view their home as an ATM machine if they have a home, and they will take refinance a house, take out equity lines of credit to pay off their credit card bills. And then what happens more often than not is they just run them up again, and then they lose their home because they're, you know, underwater in the home or they can't make the mortgage payments, and then they've lost their home. So they traded their secured debt, their home, for non-secured debt, which is credit card. Credit card is non-secured debt. You didn't put any collateral up for that, so if you don't pay, they can't come after you. But if you put your house at risk, they can take your house. And you know what? A foreclosure, losing your family home, has got to be worse, 10 times worse than any bankruptcy could ever be.
There's a very important point that you make in your book, Bankruptcy, How to Survive and Prosper, and it's about debt collectors. And it's don't ever consider someone who is working as a debt collector as a friend.
Yes.
Because they are out to get information on you in any way they possibly can.
Yes.
So you never give them electronic access to your bank account. You never, you know, give them any information at all. Because what happens is that you will be setting yourself up for a vulnerability you don't need. You also go into the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act of 1977. You give all of that particular detail in your book, which I think is excellent. And also, you talk about the cottage industry of the consumer help credit card company. And I know this for a fact. These people have to be paid. So often what they set up, and there's been a big expose here in the Pacific Northwest on the debt collection agencies and how the person that usually goes to them will end up paying an abnormally high amount of money, and they're not saving any money. These people have to make money somehow. So you really, really need to check things out. And I know we're just about out of time, but I do think your book, Bankruptcy, How to Survive and Prosper, is not just well done because of the fact that you tell your own personal story and you hold yourself accountable for whatever decisions you made, but that there is life afterwards and that you need to be informed as an individual, because if this is an option, the very last option that you are going to consider you can survive it, and you can survive it with your head up. You talk about the procedure in court and everything else. And that was a real eye-opener for me when I read that, because I was not familiar with the particular court procedure.
Oh.
And I thought it was just, it's absolutely wonderful. So I'd recommend it to anyone to read. Leanne, do you have a website that people can go to?
Yes, I do. It's LeanneRyan.com, and my book is available on Amazon.com also.
Great. Leanne Ryan, and Leanne is spelled LeighAnnRyan, LeanneRyan.com. Excellent book. If you know of anyone that's facing some real intense challenges, this is a good book to read, because you need to know that even if life gets tough, you can't survive it, and this is a good tool to have in your library. Thank you again, Leanne, for being my guest. Sorry I choked up on you earlier, but we got past that, and I think we shared a lot of good information. LeanneRyan.com. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, it is summertime, and you need to make sure that you take care of yourself, not bake too much out in the sun. I know we've got a caller on the line, but one tip. Let me give you this one tip. Make sure that you have water. Do you know that they found college students who weren't given fluids during practice ended up becoming confused, angry, tense, depressed because they were dehydrated? It's amazing what goes on. And when you're in an office working, you may not think that that is going to affect you, but it well could. And especially if you're working around a lot of computers, because you know all of that electronic machinery literally sucks moisture out of your body. So be sure you stay hydrated. Make sure you have a good amount of water around you, and who cares if you have to run extra times to the ladies' room. Just go to men's room, whatever. Just go ahead and keep yourself hydrated, especially during the summer months. You'll feel a lot better if you do. Let's take our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Vicki. I'm calling from Georgia.
Where are you in Georgia, Vicki?
I'm up in the North Georgia Mountains, way up in the hills of Georgia.
Way up in the hills of Georgia. Georgia is a beautiful country. It really is. But you can keep
your
butt
safe.
You can keep your butt safe.
What?
Oh, I said you can keep your bugs in your snakes, though. I don't want them.
We do have snakes. Yes, we do. We have them in the lake. We have them everywhere.
That'll keep people from moving into your neighborhood.
That's true. That is so true.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's go forward, Vicki. First thing that I'm looking at with you is studying. I'm looking at you acquiring quite a library, and I know you have a deep love of learning, and there is a sense of frustration that you've been experiencing lately, and I understand that, but I want you to be aware that if you use your frustration to move you forward towards what it is you really want, you're going to find yourself feeling pretty good about what you accomplished just in the next couple of months. And don't let these personal issues with other people eat away at you. There's a habit you have of taking certain issues too seriously to heart, and you feel vulnerable, and there is this tendency to feel wounded because of certain remarks. And I would like to encourage you to consider dropping that particular perspective of habit, because I believe you're ready to break through into a whole new understanding about yourself, what it is that's most meaningful to you, and then going about the business of getting everything set up in an efficient way and manner so that you accomplish exactly what you want to accomplish. And I'm looking at the month of November, I think you're going to be having some people visit you that you sort of know they might be coming into the area, but it's not really been made solid in the way of, let's say, time or place. Well, it will be. So if you need to have some things in the pantry extra, maybe to whip up some special desserts or a special meal, just go and buy whatever you need so that when you're ready, you'll have everything right there at your fingertips. It will make a great deal of difference to you, and it'll take some stress off because you really do like to be the very congenial hostess. You enjoy people visiting, but you really are ready to invest in yourself 100% right now, and I want to encourage you to do it. Go for it. You won't have any regrets if you do. What would you like to ask me today?
Well, thank you, and you're spot on that. What I wanted to ask you is my son's been disconnected from his family for 9 years. He's been in a cult that follows disconnection. And I just wondered if you saw him coming back into his family anytime soon?
Soon, no. I do think that he is often thinking about the family. There are some circumstances that he needs to grow through. And he's almost reached the point of actually disassociating from this group. But I don't know that he's quite ready to take the step. He hasn't gotten to the point where he really has become aware of himself as an individual. I'm looking at the number 10, and I have to tell you, I don't know if it's 10 months from now that you're going to hear from him, if it'll be October of a year, or if it's going to be 10 years from now. I honestly don't know. But I do see the number 10 associated with him being in touch with you. And what I'd like for you to do is every time he comes into your mind, to just go into a very thoughtful, prayerful, mental level and just send him the thoughts that he's loved and that he's welcome to call you at any time and that you look forward to the next time you have a chance to get together. And what I think is going to happen, Vicki, is that out of the blue you're going to get a phone call. But I do think the family is on his mind quite a bit. And he needed to do this because he had the tendency of wanting to be dependent on something or someone else in his life. He had not yet matured to the point of appreciating his own individuality. And believe it or not, by being associated with this group, it is coming full circle. He is coming into his own. But all of us have to walk our own path, and it's not good and it's not bad. It's just our choices.
Right. Well, thank you so much, and I enjoy your show. I appreciate you answering those questions. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate you calling in, and tell your friends about the show.
I sure will.
Thanks, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and if you want to call in and chat with me, you can do it, too, at 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to let you know who's coming on. Kathy Lynn is going to be with us tomorrow. We're going to be talking about voices of change, and she's just got such positive, positive stories to share, and I think you'll find her just delightful. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Barb Owens, who is the wife of the gentleman who wrote a very special book called The Survivorship Net. When I was made aware of this book, I just said, oh, okay, fine, you know, I'll read it. But Lance Armstrong is involved with this story and some very special circumstances. I know you'll find this woman most interesting. And then next week, we're going to be starting off with health. All health is breaking loose. And Basuki is going to be my guest, and then still singing somehow, Robert Rideout. Boy, is his story wild and woolly. Oh, my gracious. Well, we've got another caller. We're going to be taking our caller now. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Eve, and I'm calling from California. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I am wonderful. Where are you in California?
I'm in the hot part.
The hot part.
Yeah, it's so hot here today. It's like 92 degrees, and that has lightened up a little bit. It was 90, I think it was 97.
Oh, my goodness. My. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to up you one. 2 weekends ago, here in the Pacific Northwest, we rarely, if ever, get weather like this. It was 115 degrees on a Saturday. And it was 108 on Sunday, and I thought I was going to die, as well as a number of other people thought they were going to die, because we are just not accustomed to those kinds of temperatures. So where are you, though? Are you in Northern California?
I'm in Southern California, Orange County, south of L.A.
Hey, I was born and raised there, dear. This time of
really?
Year, that's what it's supposed to be.
I'm in Lake Forest. Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Los Angeles proper. I lived for many, many years in Inglewood and Burbank and Glendale and Burbank. Well, that is what I call the hot pot capital of the world, because it gets hot.
Yeah, that's the valley kind of.
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
All the air, it's kind of in a bowl or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
And air conditioning.
Where are you now?
I'm up in the Pacific Northwest, where we have an absolutely gorgeous day of 75 degrees, and it is wonderful.
Oh, I envy that. That's really nice. I have a question. I don't know if you can answer it, but I have started into a new life, so to speak, and did a lot of studying to get my insurance license, and I don't know. I'm just, I'm struggling here, with the economy and everything, and I'm hoping I made the right decision.
All right. What kind of insurance are you involved with, hon?
Life and health.
All right. One of the things that will make you very successful, since you chose the industry, you need to remember that when you are looking at insurance, you want to be sure that you're representing companies that you really believe in, number one.
Yes.
That's very important.
A-rated.
A-rated in companies. Then the next thing you want to do is spend time with people and find out their needs and look at their hopes and their fears. And look at them as people that really have specific needs and maybe work with them in such a way and manner that you get to know them as people.
Yeah, that's I'm good at that.
That is where you need to put your thoughtful action. And if you were to go about it in that way, it might be a bit slow in the beginning. And all you need to do is say, this is what I have a passion for. I may or may not be able to help you, but if I can, I will, but I'm going to be honest with you. I think of a man that contacted, for example, it was an older couple, and the wife was a few years younger than the husband, but the husband had reached the age of 70, and they had a life insurance policy, and they really wanted to, the husband wanted the wife to have some additional, you know, coverage, so if anything happened to him, she would be comfortable. And the agent that they worked with was so honest that he really took the time to do research for them and said, what you've got, I want you to stay with, but it's going to take me a while to figure out what is going to be the best for you. And he worked with them for a while, and finally he came up with a policy that fit within their budget, and yet he didn't want them, because he was concerned about them, to overpay on something. And then the same agent, he had a younger couple, and they had just started their family. They had one child. And then that agent worked with them and said, this is what I can do. But remember, you've also got insurance you want to have or coverage for the child's education. And he worked with them to find out what would work out best.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some times when he'd have to tell people, gee, I can't offer you anything other than what I am, but let me give you some other sources that maybe will help you. So he developed a rapport with the people.
Mm-hmm. Most importantly, honesty. Yeah.
That is the key.
Yeah.
That is the key. And the sincerity. So
understand,
if you like doing insurance work, and insurance is needed by most people, so if you really want to do that, if you can keep that in mind, you'll have success beyond your wildest imagining.
Yeah. Okay. It's just a struggle in the starting.
Absolutely. I don't know of any shortcuts to make it otherwise.
Yeah, that's a big struggle. But I, you know, I do have a passion of helping people, so I really enjoy that. You know, I get a lot out of that.
Good.
Anyway. Okay. Well, a good advice. Things that I, you know, that I am doing and that I intend to do, and I will just, you know, make sure that that point comes forward.
Absolutely. Be yourself.
Yes. Okay.
Have a passion for what you do, but be yourself. All right, my dear, I've got to take a break.
Right.
Thank you for calling.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too. And cool off. I know it's out there for you. This
All
is
right.
Donna Sebo. We're taking a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Have you ever been called, what do I want to say? You gals, boy, you're hot stuff, or something equivalent of that. Well, usually we take that as a compliment. Well, there was a gal in 1987 that was hot stuff, but not in the way that most of us would expect. In fact, it was June 14th, 1987. There was a woman who was working a crane who had gone through the experience of having an electrical shock and was declared dead. That's right. She was declared dead. Now, a Ukrainian newspaper wrote about this woman, Yulia Borobyeva. That is, I believe I'm pronouncing her name correctly. It's Russian's a little bit difficult for my tongue to wrap around sometimes. She happened to be working in a mine when, by accident, she got zapped with 380 volts of electricity. Again, they declared her dead. She spent 2 days on a mortuary slab. They were going to do an autopsy. When the medical examiner began to cut for the autopsy, blood started pumping out of the corpse. The body began to tremble. Yulia was alive. For 6 months, she had terrible time sleeping. Go figure that one out. Finally, she was able to fall into a long, deep sleep. When she awakened from that deep sleep, she was very refreshed. Apparently, her body had finished integrating the jolting electrocution experience in a very unique way. She discovered this on her way to buy bread. She happened to look over at a woman who was waiting for a bus, and to her amazement, she found she had X-ray vision. Here's a lady that has X-ray vision. Superman isn't the only one that can do it. When Lulia found that she could do this, she was terrified. She said she could see this woman's intestines and straight through her. Now, word got out about what she was able to do fairly quickly. A reporter from a local newspaper interviewed her. And she absolutely amazed him because she told him what he had eaten for lunch. She could tell what he had eaten because she could see it in his stomach. Now, there was an honorary medical post at a hospital in the Ukrainian area that was given, well, they opened their doors to her. And she was working with physicians, and apparently it enabled her to diagnose some rare illnesses. There was a Dr. Spilervova that said, Yulia never made one mistake. Interesting. 380 volts of electricity totally changed her life. Not a big surprise. You just, life is so interesting. There is a wonderful historical figure in the United States by the name of Harriet Tubman. This is a black woman that is renowned for her courage in rescuing slaves and getting them into safe harbor in the north, northern area of the United States. This woman had phenomenal clairvoyant abilities. And in an upcoming show, we'll be talking about her probably more at length than what I'd be able to do right now because I know we're just about out of time. But I want to mention quickly before we go, if you have a story on the paranormal, a unique experience that has had an effect on your life, won't you send it to me? I'm putting a book together, and I'm collecting 100 stories, and I'd love to have yours. Be sure to send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Donna at DelphiInternational, D-E-L-P-H-I, International.com. I'd love to have your story in my book. So do remember that, and I will be giving you information about where I'm going to be appearing. Las Vegas, Nevada is going to be coming up pretty soon. Also in Alaska, I'm going to be making a trip up there, both to Fairbanks and Anchorage, and the upcoming dates will be in my newsletter as well as being announced here on the air. So remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It belongs to you and to no one else. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on VBSRadio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.